Our GeoQuiz today sent us back 400 years in search of a 300-mile-long river. Tom Lewis knows it well. He teaches English at Skidmore College in New York, and he wrote a book about the history of this river. So, Professor Lewis, 400 years ago, a ship called the Half Moon sailed down this river. Name the river and the ship's captain.
Well, the river is named the Hudson, and it's named after the captain of the Half Moon, who was Henry Hudson.
So when they arrived at the mouth of the Hudson River, what did they see on the horizon at that time?
It's hard to imagine, but what they saw was really framed by a man named Robert Jewett, who was one of Hudson's crew, and he kept a journal. And they were immediately taken with the smell of Manhattan Island and the smell of nature. He writes that they saw great and tall oaks, grass and flowers, and goodly trees. And I think that's maybe the best way of thinking of it. It was, in a sense, the Hudson Valley was in as much as possible, we might say, a perfect state of nature.
And what were Crewe's early encounters with the Native Americans as they explored the Hudson River at the time?
Well, again, we have to rely on Jewett. And he wrote of several bloody encounters. It didn't help that the crew actually tried to capture and to bring back to Europe several Indians. They escaped. Then later they had another group of Indians actually tried to steal something from the ship. And Jewett's response was, "We durst not trust them." The Dutch called them Wilden. They said the Wilden are Wilden because they're wild men. The English called them savages. The same sort of thing, but really with a sense of the fang and the claw. And that was really the attitude the Europeans brought into the Hudson Valley. So they were quick with their guns, they were quick with their swords, and they were quick with their bows and arrows, and left a carnage of about 8 Indians.
Mm. Now, just to clarify for our listeners, the Henry Hudson expedition predates those of Peter Minuit, who made the deal to buy Manhattan, and Peter Stuyvesant, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Really, the Dutch discovery of the Hudson River in the time when they claimed the land really from Delaware into Connecticut, three rivers, the Delaware, the Hudson, and the present-day Connecticut River, for Dutch territory. And that lasted until 1664, domination of that territory lasted until 1664, when the British sailed into New York Harbor and demanded that the Dutch cede the city of New Amsterdam.
Right. Bitter memories for the Dutch kind of since then.
Well, of course, the Dutch were there for one thing, and they really came to focus on the Hudson River. The Dutch were there for one thing, which was to make money. And that was their principal purpose. They viewed the Hudson River as really part of a ocean highway, a liquid highway, if you will, that went from upstate New York, Albany area, to Amsterdam. And what they wanted were beaver pelts. And beaver pelts became extremely important to the wealthiest country in the world, which was Holland. And they needed a ready source of beaver because everybody was using beaver for coats and hats and other apparel.
Obviously, a big deal, this 400th anniversary for the Dutch. In fact, Willem Alexander, a Prince of Orange of the Netherlands, spoke in New York City yesterday at the Dutch consulate. Let's hear what he had to say about the ideas that brought Henry Hudson on his expedition.
Passion for liberty, freedom of conscience, and an unwavering belief that everyone has the right to the pursuit of happiness. These were the values the Halve Maan and all the other Dutch ships that made the same crossings in the years after 1609 brought to these shores and to New Amsterdam.
So, Professor Lewis, I mean, with all due respect to the good prince, it wasn't really about passion for liberty. It was about freedom to make money, wasn't it?
That's true, to be sure. But we have to understand that there's more than a grain of truth. What happened was the Dutch were very much more tolerant of religions, various religions. Now, there were, of course, adherents to the state church who very much did not like a lot of those new religions, including Jews, who were coming into the Hudson Valley. But the Dutch decided that they really had to allow them for economic reasons. And always in the Dutch world, economics in the 17th century trumped everything. And fortunately, there was a moment of real democratic deliberation among the various Dutch governors who came to rule, if you will, New Netherland, which was the area from what is present-day New York City up to Albany.
How far up did the Half Moon navigate along the Hudson?
Well, it arrived at this time in September 1609, and it went to what is present-day Troy, just above Albany. And they had, of course, were looking for a way to get to the east, to the riches of the east. And what they encountered, of course, was a very broad river at the beginning, and they thought, and it was a tidal river, it still is, of course, a tidal river, and they believed that they would be able to follow that waterway right to the east. And, of course, at Albany, basically, the water got shallower, and there is a falls just above Albany, and that was the end of Hudson's voyage. And it was a real disappointment. See, you have to remember that North America was an obstruction to anybody who was trying to explore this area. It was nothing. It was something to get around or through, but it wasn't something to really exploit. But the Dutch quickly saw that they could exploit it, and exploit it for economic gain in the form of the beaver trade.
A disappointment, perhaps, but the Hudson River and its vistas have inspired so many painters and artists. It must have at least been pretty to see.
Yeah, the Hudson's had this wonderful legacy because it is simply a magnificently beautiful river. Those around New York might not think it's a very beautiful river, perhaps, but it actually is, and especially the trip down the Hudson is one of the most scenic railway journeys in the world. Thomas Cole, the wonderful 19th century painter, interpreted the river in his own way and began what was really thought of as the first American school of painting. It was called later the Hudson River School of Painters. Cole actually was very elegiac in what he saw in the valley. He started painting in 1825 when the steamboat was ascendant, but at the same time, he found that there was he chose to paint not steamboats on the river, but sailboats. And often he chose to put in his paintings an elegiac note of a lone American Indian as in the midst of nature, almost being driven out by what had happened in the United States. By that time, 1825, really, the Industrial Revolution was really taking hold in the valley because of and the Erie Canal had opened in October 1825, and it brought yet more goods and people into the Hudson River Valley.
Tom Lewis, a professor of English at Skidmore College and also a writer about history of the Hudson River, the answer to our GeoQuiz today. Professor Lewis, thank you so much.
Good to talk with you.